Let's Talk Sales. This is the podcast for anyone who's interested in growing sales. Let's Talk Sales is brought to you by Calavia, the sales playbook platform made for your team and by your team. The Calavia Sales Playbook houses your company's best practices, templates, and processes. It also functions as an online sales training academy for your existing team as well as any new hires. Learn more at calavia.com. Happy New Year! The new year is a time for change, and in January, we're writing and talking about change. Make sure to check it out on the CFS blog. Speaking of change, you may have noticed a change to the podcast in the new year. You might have seen an extra episode come out last week in your feed. Each week, we've added a short, inspirational episode that you'll see posting on Fridays. You can also make sure to check out our website, where the inspirational episodes are also posted as videos. So if you want to see the CFS team, check that out. This is Elizabeth Frederick, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to host today's episode. We flipped the script a bit, and I'll be interviewing Rebecca Smith, who usually hosts the show. I'm talking to her about her new ebook on change called Change Ignites Growth: 7 Ways to Use Change as an Opportunity. As always, you can find the notes for today's show at criteriaforsuccess.com/pod11. Thanks so much for joining me, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
This is. So I just want to get started with probably the broadest question of all. What inspired you to write about change?
Well, that is a great question and an easy one, actually. I actually had the pleasure of speaking at the FAIA conference, which stands for the Florida Association of Independent Insurance Agents, down in Florida. And it was a sales and leadership conference. And at the event, after I was done speaking, I met a really wonderful woman there from a large insurance company. And we kept in touch. And a couple of months ago, she reached out to me. And she said that her company had undergone a huge change and that her team was very resistant and nervous about that change.
Okay.
And they decided that the best way to handle this change was to put together an inspirational retreat where the change could be discussed and embraced in kind of an outside setting. And she asked if I would come and speak on the benefits of change and why change was a good thing.
That must have been a really interesting topic to start to really think about. That's not generally, I think, the kind of talk that you give.
Definitely. It was definitely really something exciting to put together and to look back on all of the change that we deal with on a day-to-day basis with the clients that we work with and the resistance to change and to kind of think about all the different aspects to it. And I have to say that, you know, I came back from that event and I was so energized about this idea that I thought, well, I want to write a book about this, what I've discovered in the process.
Yeah, you've been buzzing about change for a while. So
I've been trying to change for a couple months now.
Yeah, it's been definitely really interesting. And I'm excited about the ebook. I was able to read the draft. I know that's going to be published by the time we air this episode. And I know all of our listeners are going to be very excited to read that. There's a lot of great actionable advice in there for people as they are encountering the change that comes.
Thank you. And thank you for your advice.
Yes, I think we brainstormed together. What are the 7 ways to embrace change?
We certainly did.
So when it comes to change, obviously you just referenced that we do often see change, especially with our clients. In the space that we're in, we're coming in with programs and people are implementing them, and that in and of itself is a change. So what are the most common changes that you see specifically our audience, our sales leaders, experiencing?
There are so many. It's hard to point to just one. But one of the things that I'd like to point to is this kind of idea of industries being in an influx, especially in sales. You know, markets change continuously. This is something that I know the insurance industry experiences a lot. Every time that the policies change, they have to go back to their customers and kind of explain themselves a bit. So it makes it hard as a salesperson when pricing changes, you know, the economy, taxes, all that kind of stuff impacts what we do as salespeople.
Yeah.
And from a sales leadership perspective, it's about mentoring the younger sales staff through these changes, because it's easy to get discouraged when something changes and to say, oh my gosh, the marketplace is terrible for us now. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to sell this, or my customers are always calling me upset. So it's up to the leaders to take a step back and say, you know, we've got to figure out a really positive and actionable way to approach change moving forward and embrace it, because listen, it ain't going, we're not going to not change, right?
Absolutely. That really makes me think of our clients in the media space. And over the years, we've worked with a lot of clients in media. And that's an industry that is just rapidly changing and still trying to figure itself out. And it's fascinating as a consumer to see how it's changed and how I change the way that I embrace that market. But then to think through and to see, you know, from our perspective inside the company, working with their sales teams, working with their sales leaders, it's been a significant challenge for them. And you definitely see the companies that are embracing change, that are thinking a step ahead or two steps ahead or 10 steps ahead, they're doing much better than the companies that are resisting, that are trying to force their clients to treat the industry like it used to be. And they're not there anymore. People don't want to buy the way they used to. They don't want to buy the things they used to. And you have to be always that step ahead.
Definitely. I think that there are many variations of this quote, but it's something that my dad always said as a kid. If you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always gotten. You know?
Yeah. And to a certain extent, you know, your dad is definitely right. But there's also, I think, sometimes if you keep doing the things you've been doing, at some point they stop working.
Yep.
And you really have to look at, you know, you might be selling the same way you used to sell and it doesn't work anymore. And it's been a very interesting time to be in business. I've been at Criteria for Success for 10 years now. So through the recession, through really a massive change in the way people sell. Mm-hmm. And it's been really interesting to see the companies that have embraced that, that have really understood how people are researching and online and buying online and making decisions differently, communicating differently, the rise of social media. I look back at blog posts we wrote 7 or 8 years ago, like what is social selling? And they're really embarrassing to read. So it's definitely interesting to see how people have embraced it differently. So I thought this was a very impactful ebook and a really good topic to think about. Obviously, change is always topical in January, but other times of the year as well.
Sure. And I'd love to kind of hit back on your question about sales leaders and specifically with what we do here at CFS, which is sales training and sales guidance and that kind of thing. And one of the things that I think that we notice a lot, as you kind of hinted at and referenced, was how a lot of times when salespeople go into a sales training, they're very resistant about it because it's uncomfortable. Change is so uncomfortable in the beginning. And that's the thing. And the only way that you can kind of grow from it is to hurdle through, right? The discomfort of it. And so I don't know if you want to speak at all to, I know that workability and kind of context were something that you experienced recently with one of our clients, or I believe more Charles experienced lately.
I was deathly ill, but I was there. It's always so interesting. You know, we've trained a lot of different kinds of sales teams. And they're all different. And so you see sometimes where you're coming into a room of people that are excited about the training and that are eager to learn. That's always a pleasant surprise. Typically, it's a little more slanted toward people who maybe are resistant. If they're experienced, they say, I've been selling 20 years. What do you have to teach me? What we've also discovered over the years is that one of the best things you can do, regardless of the experience level or the desire for training, is make sure to set the appropriate context for the training. If people come in and they think training is a punishment, or training is an attack on what I've been doing and how I've been doing it, they're going to be really resistant to it. They're going to sit the first, 20 minutes of the day with their arms kind of folded, really not engaged. And we're hoping to change them. You know, we're not saying what they've been doing is all wrong, but we're hoping to give them new ideas, new best practices, new ways of approaching selling. And people aren't going to be able to hear that. They're not going to be able to implement those changes if you can't get them started from the beginning in the mindset of being open. And so Charles has written a lot about workability, and it's something that we've been talking a lot about at CFS lately. I think you interviewed him on a podcast maybe about that?
I did. Well, we talked about building relationships, and part of that was workability. And actually, Charles is writing a book currently to be published on workability. So I'm so excited about that.
Definitely. And that's something that we've just discovered. One of the most important things you can do if you want to bring somebody through a change is to establish a sense of workability. And for me, the biggest part of that is context. Mm-hmm.
Everyone being on the same page, understanding why they're doing what they're doing.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Anytime there's change happening, that's important. I wrote an ebook a while ago on change management.
Yeah.
And so it's very different from specifically what you're talking about, but they definitely go together.
Certainly.
So we'll include the link to that in the show notes as well.
Sure. And what is the link for the show notes for today?
That is going to be criteriaforsuccess.com/pod11.
Awesome.
You're so good at this, Rebecca. It's almost like you have some practice. So speaking about change, I'd love to hear just a story from you. Is there a major change that you've experienced? And how did you react to that?
Sure. I'd actually like to share two. One is a little more personal and one is a little more professional. And I think they kind of highlight the differences between things that happen to us in our lives. The first is that years ago, I used to race sport bikes, motorcycles. This was previously before I had started racing. I had just been doing track days. And I had an incident. We call it a get off. It's called a crash, for real, but...
To me, that sounds a little dangerous and awful. I love that you kind of softened the way that you describe
it. Yeah, we just call it a get off. We just fell off, you know. And it actually was a pretty bad one. I ended up breaking my neck. I separated my shoulder. I was in the hospital for a week. It was kind of a big deal. And going through the healing process of that took a long time. It was about 9 months.
Yeah.
So that was a big... immediate accidental change that happened in my life because it was a physical change that impacted the way that I got around. You know, I couldn't drive for a little while. I obviously couldn't ride motorcycles. And people during that time were like, you're a crazy person if you're going to get back on this bike. And I had to use those months to figure out, kind of self-reflect and say, you know, what is it about this that is making me want to do this? And all that kind of stuff. And in the end, I did end up getting back on the motorcycle. And that's when I ended up started racing a couple of years later. And I've had many crashes since then. But I think I learned how to crash a little bit smarter. None were quite as bad. But the moral of that story is just that sometimes things happen in life. And we don't have control over it. Now, granted, I put myself in a situation where it was very high risk.
I never crashed a motorcycle because I've never been on a motorcycle.
So, yeah, exactly. But, you know, sometimes we take risks and sometimes we get hurt when we take those risks, but at least, you know, put myself out there. And when I came back, I ended up having such a better experience from it. I learned so many lessons from that particular incident. And when I started back, I started on a smaller bike and worked my way up and ended up becoming an instructor. And it ended up being this wonderful thing from such a bad incident. And then shortly after that happened, something happened in my professional life that was interesting.
I want to jump in for a second because I think that really demonstrates a couple different kinds of change. Because first of all, there was probably a change in your mindset where before you had that first accident, probably you didn't have accidents so much in your mind when you raced. So even later when you were continuing to ride bikes and continuing to race, you probably had a little bit of a different approach to it, maybe a little more safety conscious, a little more cautious.
Sure.
Just mindful in the way. And I think also that period of time when you were injured, that was a big period of change. And I think sometimes it's important to determine whether a change that you've experienced is a short-term and temporary change or whether it's a long-term permanent change, because you had the short-term changes of healing, of moving differently, of probably performing a lot of daily activities and routines in a different way. And there are sometimes situations in your personal or professional life where things will be different for a period of time. Maybe it's because you're implementing a new process. And so, you know, right now there's a different way we're doing this thing, but later on it'll go back to kind of normal. And then there are the changes that are really permanent of, you know, if you stop using a system and you start using a completely different system, there's that initial short-term, yikes, we're learning something new change, but then there's the long-term, it's still a completely different system change. And I think one thing that a lot of people don't often think about when it comes to change is determining, is this a short-term change? And if so, I might approach it one way. And also, I know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel versus is this a permanent change? And then I might need to really approach it differently and more thoughtfully with the knowledge that this is a part of my life moving forward.
Definitely. You're absolutely right on all those points. And one of the biggest takeaways for me from that particular incident, I actually learned from one of my other racer friends, Sean Dwyer, and he talks a lot about percentages. So racing at 100% of your ability versus pulling it back and going at about 90%, 80%, 70%, 60%, you know, what percentage how far are you going to push yourself?
Yeah.
And the closer you get to 100, the closer you are to falling off, as we call it. And, you know, professionals, they race at 95%. Sometimes they're racing at 100%. And at 100%, you're putting yourself at risk. And so I learned for myself, you know, I've got to put myself, if I'm just having fun, let's go 80% here.
Yeah.
We don't need to be, you know, risking
our
life and limb, exactly. So it was definitely, you know, like you said, a long term, there was long term change and short term kind of lessons,
yeah.
I guess you should say, that kind of came out of that. And that applied to other parts of my life. And I think one of the biggest things too, when unexpected change happens, is the idea of perseverance.
Yeah.
And saying, you know what, I'm not going to let this get me down. Because I've seen a lot of people that have quit after they've crashed. And that's fine. That is completely up to that person, whether they want to decide to continue to put their life at risk. And I've seen other people push through, and I've seen what that's kind of done and how that's impacted people. So it's an interesting kind of way to think about it.
Yeah. As you were talking, I thought about my dad. He had a very unexpected fall
last fall
and broke his leg very badly. And so he has the short-term changes of for a while he wasn't moving, and then he was using a walker. And then the long-term change of how this might impact him over time. And I was home over the Christmas break, and I saw him go through very rapid changes from using a walker and moving very slowly through, I think, the forced necessity of having, I didn't count, but at least 15 people staying in the house and lots of little kids running around, the walker wasn't as possible anymore. And he switched to using a cane, and it pushed him to grow. And the speed that he was moving by the time I left, which was, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks later, was remarkable. And so I think sometimes we have a change that's happening, and there might be even little accelerators that happen periodically through the process that maybe push you a little outside your comfort zone, that make you, you know, that might be threatening, might make you a little nervous, but can really push you to grow beyond maybe what you expected.
Definitely. And I think to point back to the kind of major change question, the question about major changes that have occurred, you know, I gave that personal example.
And then I interrupted.
No. There is a professional one that I think that a lot of our listeners can apply, because this happens all the time. I used to work for a property damage restoration company, and we were doing great. But we were within a franchise, and the owner decided after a number of years to go independent, which meant that we had to change everything. We had to change our logo, our name, our kind of our mission statement, what we wanted to stand for independently as a company.
Yeah.
And when you have a big client base that's already built up, and you're going to completely change your company, everything about your company, the name, you know, that's, it's intimidating.
Absolutely.
So that was something that, you know, we were really nervous about it. We didn't know how it was going to go over. And I have to tell you, it was all for nothing, because it ended up being the best thing that ever happened to the company. When we went in and explained why we were making this change, and, you know, how we wanted to change our focus and things like that, it got people excited about it.
That's awesome.
One of the things that I feel in this ebook about ways that change and how to use change to find new opportunities is so relevant, because a lot of those examples are actually from my own experience where, you know, we're going back into our networks and explaining these things, and you're getting people excited about something.
Yeah, so. Definitely. I think that a lot of times when people see change happening, they think, how can I build a wall and protect myself and make sure that I'm the same after this change? You think of people in a job and they see a major change happening and they just think, how can I entrench myself so I don't get fired, so nothing about the way I do my job changes, versus figuring out, how can I use that change to grow myself, to grow my position, to grow my department? You might find after the change that you're in an even better position that you couldn't have even envisioned before it happened. But if you're resistant, if you're holding back, if you're really clinging tight, you might actually find that after the change has happened, you're on the outside looking in. And there might be other people who've jumped past you because they were really willing to dive in. I don't know if there were people maybe who left the company when that transition happened, or people who weren't as excited about it as you were. And you might have seen that they maybe struggled with it a little bit more than the people who were willing to really grab it with both hands and dive in.
Yeah, I think for the most part, because we were all united as a culture. We were all on board with it. We worked really hard to make sure that it was something that everyone was accepting of. But that's not to say that there may have been relationships that I didn't know about that, you know, there might have been a struggle there. You know, I've certainly seen that happen in other scenarios and other situations.
Yeah, definitely. But that sounds like a really exciting story and a great example. And it's always nice to have a positive example of change because I think a lot of times when people talk about change, they talk about kind of the horror stories.
Yeah. And, you know, we actually pivoted this year and had a big change, which was that we've traditionally built sales playbooks with our clients.
Yep.
Right.
And then, that's my process.
And then this year we launched a new product called Calavia that is a self-guided sales playbook. And that was a big change. That's a big shift, you know, going from just having one offering that we're working with to being able to allow people to build their own playbooks. It's a good change.
Yeah, it's been exciting. It was definitely a challenge. And it's something that as a team, we all had to understand from my side as the product manager, figuring out what is the offering and how does it work, to your side from as a marketing department of how do we make sure that our clients and our prospective clients in the market understands the difference between the ways we go to market mm-hmm. and the ways that they can decide if they want to work with us. And it's been exciting, but it's always a bigger project than you think it will be.
Oh, certainly.
That kind of leads into the next question that I had is what specific lessons have you learned about change over time?
Well, I think the biggest lesson is that I think I already mentioned this earlier, that change is constant. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I kind of think of life as like being on a moving train, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes we're like, oh, let's just jump off this train. I'm not happy with this. And then we end up getting run over by it. So it's kind of about bending and being flexible when times are difficult.
Yeah.
But also, you know, knowing when to say no too. Because sometimes there are things that shouldn't be changed. And other times you can look at the same situation or a similar scenario and go, you know what, I could do this in a different way and receive a better result from it.
Yeah. That reminds me of an expression a friend of mine says is, what do you call problem after problem after problem after problem after problem?
Life.
Life. Exactly. And I think that's really, what do you call change after change after change after yeah. change after change? And that's life. I think we get a lot of that living in New York. You live in Connecticut, but you work in New York, so it's similar enough. And this is, you know, they call it the city that never sleeps, and that's true. Things are moving really quickly here. But across the country, across the world, change is a constant. And there might be a period of your life where you don't necessarily see the small change is happening, and then suddenly, bang, a big change happens right in front of you. And the way you encounter each change, the way you decide how you're going to react, really determines your life and determines how successful you will be, how happy you will be. Mm-hmm. And resisting change and being afraid of it is going to cause things to be a lot more difficult than I think they could be if you can have an open, willing mindset towards change.
Certainly. I think I'd like to speak to that a little bit, that we actually have a mutual friend that recently, she had been very, very unhappy at her job. The culture was not good. The hours weren't good. It was just a lot of stress and tension and negativity. And it took a long time for her to finally say, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to leave with my head held high and you know, move on. And she had been interviewing for other jobs and just hadn't found the right thing. And, you know, she made the decision, I'm just going to make this change regardless of the fact that I don't have another job lined up. And wouldn't you know, the same day that she quit the job, she received a job offer from another company. It was almost like as soon as she opened her life up, you know, as soon as she opened up to the opportunity for something new, it came to her.
Absolutely. I actually saw her. This is my first day back after vacation. And I saw her for the first time today. And you can just tell people when they've experienced a good change, sometimes when they've made that change happen, there's just a different body language, a different look in their face, on their eyes, like just a spring in the step. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we're afraid of making a big change. And I'm not saying everybody who's listening should quit their job, because that's not generally the best advice in all situations. But a lot of times there might be a change that you you've been thinking about making for a long time and been kind of cautious or concerned about it. And sometimes you just need to take that leap. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked about change that happens to you, but sometimes you need to make the change.
Yes. And on the other side of the spectrum, someone else mutually that you and I know was on the opposite end of the spectrum where they lost their job. And that's can be a very devastating thing for a person, right? You lost your job, you feel hopeless, you feel like, oh my gosh, I must be terrible, I got fired, you know? And instead of wallowing and crying about it, he picked himself up and got a new job within a couple of weeks by cold calling, literally cold calling. Got, you know,
sometimes it works.
Now is in the perfect position at a better culture and a, you know, in a better position than he was at the previous position. So it worked out for the better.
Definitely. I think we've got a lot of examples of situations where change has worked out. And I think for those of us who might naturally be a little more cautious, a little more change averse, those of us who aren't necessarily motorcycle racers, it's something that can be helpful is to think about examples of where change has worked out and look back at yourself, look at friends, look at family, at coworkers. And that can give you kind of that inspiration, those ideas, that comfort that you might sometimes need.
Definitely. Agreed with that.
And that kind of speaks to, I noticed as I was reading your ebook, you give a lot of very specific exercises for people as they work to embrace change. And so I figured that was probably based on things that you've seen about how people react to change and maybe what they could do differently. So do you have any key observations about the way people react to change?
People are very resistant to change, especially if it's internal change. Self-reflection is one of the most difficult things for human beings. It's so easy for us to judge people around us or to look at another company and judge the way that they're doing something. But when we do that, when we judge other people or what other people are doing, all we're doing is wasting our time and our energy.
Absolutely.
Because you can't change other people and you can't change their mindset. The only person you can change is yourself. So I believe that self-reflection and a focus on adjusting our own attitudes and our own beliefs is the only way to grow. And that's why I thought exercises for each of these seven ways to use opportunity, change as an opportunity, is the best way to go about it. Because the only way to get there is to do it yourself.
Absolutely. That really reminds me, my first job after college, I was actually working at the school I went to. And they had a computer system that was older than me, which is kind of impressive. I was, I think, 21 at the time. I think it was maybe 25 years old. And it was literally, I'm not kidding, like black screen with white text on it. Super old computer system that ran, you know.
MS-DOS.
It ran everything. And they were changing it. And I was helping to administer the change. Mm-hmm. I was a technology major. And it was so funny to see the people on the team, not funny at the time, but looking back, those who were resistant to change and those who had the mindset of, I'm going to embrace this, I'm going to learn this, you know, I might have been using the same system literally my entire career and I've been working here 20 years, but I'm going to use this as an opportunity to learn something new. Mm-hmm. And it was very different in how people embraced it, how people reacted, and how successful they were.
Sure.
So very fascinating observation, you know, very young in my career.
Definitely. And we see this all the time now. I mean, it's been within everyone's lifetime that's listening to this podcast that the iPhone has come out. And I remember when they started to adapt tablets to be more of kind of in place of the home computer, people were freaking out. I can't use this iPad or this tablet as a computer. It's a pad. It's not a computer. And now I see people on the train every single day using tablets as computers.
Yeah. Or I'm one of these. When smartphones got a little bigger, I was like, who's going to hold such a big phone? It doesn't fit my hand, which I do have kind of small hands. But I had my iPad and I was like, all the big stuff you do on your iPad, why would you need a phone? I got a slightly bigger phone. And I have to say, I haven't picked my iPad up in months because I do everything I used to do on my tablet on my phone.
Yep.
And I think the change, especially in the technology side of things, is happening quicker and quicker and quicker.
It's really cool. I'm excited to see what happens in the next 20, 30, 40, well, however long, however many years we've got left.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that just really how people react to change is such an important thing to think about. And as you said, we can only change ourselves. It's interesting, though, when you think of somebody in a management position who might be guiding people through change.
Sure.
And there's definitely a lot of challenges that you might face. I think one of the biggest strategies that I've seen that's most effective is, first of all, over-communicate. And, you know, you can provide a more comfortable space for people as change is happening. If you're leading a sales department and maybe there's a new product coming out, or maybe you're changing your branding or your message in some way. A lot of times people think, well, it's on my salespeople. They need to just step up and learn it and figure it out. And while, yes, they should, they might not.
Yep.
And as a leader, as a manager, whether you're the VP or whether you're even the CEO, really think through, what can I do to help my employees embrace this change, to help them understand it, to help them communicate it to our customers, because they're the ones who are often doing that. And the better you do, and the better you can support your team, the better they will probably be at embracing the change.
That's a great point. I think another great thing that managers can do is go back to the whole storytelling concept. You know, sharing your own stories oftentimes helps those that you're teaching and training and coaching, so that they don't feel, oh, I'm the only one that's going through this.
Yeah, definitely. I think also going back to the why. You know, a lot of times we get caught up at the beginning. Maybe we said, we need to change and this is why. And then we get very much into the how. You know, this is happening on this date. This is happening on this date. Then this will happen. You'll see this. Make sure you tell this to the clients. This is the message that we're giving. I think it's really important to continue to reinforce the why. Mm-hmm. Why is this change happening?
Yeah.
Why is this better for us and better for our clients long term? Continuing to go back to that and helping people individually connect to it. Not, you know, why we as the board made this decision, but why you will benefit from this decision as an employee, why our clients will benefit from this decision and from this change. And the more you can connect to the why, the more you can help people really connect to it, make sure it resonates with them, the more flexible they'll be, the more open they'll be, the more willing they'll be to embrace that change.
Definitely.
And that can really break down those walls of resistance.
I think it definitely starts with the leaders. I know that whenever Charles gives a talk, does a training, or he goes to an event, he always comes back to the office with a lesson.
Absolutely.
That he shares with us. And watching him grow and learn and adapt after all these years, he's been in sales for tons, since the dinosaurs were here, right? Now, that's his joke, but he's been in sales he's been in sales for such a long time, and he's still learning. And that's what's important, is not thinking and assuming that we know everything, because none of us do.
Absolutely.
I'm not young enough to know everything. What's that quote?
Definitely. So when it comes to change, I think we've talked a lot about the good parts. What's your favorite thing about change?
My favorite part about change is the tremendous opportunities that come with it.
Okay.
You know, and that's something that I get to in the ebook. So I'm not going to give away all of those gems.
You have to download it for that.
Download the ebook to learn more about what those opportunities are. But I've learned that every time a big change has happened in my life, a huge opportunity is waiting right there on the other side. There are numerous, it can always get better.
Yes.
So if you're feeling down or unmotivated, or, you know, like life isn't giving you good things, there's always more. Always, every time. It's just looking for the opportunity and figuring out where it is.
Definitely. That's such a great mindset. And I think a lot of us need to be reminded of that at times. We typically end the podcast with a request for something that's actionable. So I wondered, is there some advice that you've received about embracing change, maybe something that our audience could take and apply themselves?
Sure. So the best advice comes from my dad, Monty Smith. I'm going to refer to him again because he taught me almost everything I know.
Smart guy.
He is a roll with the punches kind of guy. You knock him down, he gets up 1,000 times. I've watched him adapt to situations again and again, and he always perseveres. So the lesson and the best advice is to, no matter what happens, get up. Keep going. Like, don't just lay down.
Yep.
And feel bad for yourself. Keep going.
That's awesome. I think that's definitely advice we can all take and all learn from and apply in our lives in all kinds of different situations.
Certainly. I mean, this transitions not just in business, not just in sales, but in our personal lives as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's very easy when something bad happens in our lives to feel bad about it and say, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? This is terrible. You know, but look for the lesson. And it's so easy for us to blame the other person in a situation too, yeah, in our personal lives and in a professional context as well. And a lot of times that's where our biggest area for growth is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about a lot of times when you have that situation of change happening, again, personally or professionally, like you said, you could blame the people around you. You could blame your manager. If you're the manager, you could blame the CEO or the board that made a decision. If instead you say, let's work together to find a solution, mm-hmm, or find a way to grow through this change, that's going to be a lot more fun experience than if you sit there resentful, you know, either feeling sorry for yourself or feeling angry or both at that person.
Definitely.
So I love that. Just get up, dust your hands off, and, you know, find people to work with, find ways that you can take this change and grow from it. That's great. Well, thanks so much, Rebecca, for letting me kind of take over your chair and interview
thank
you. I hope you had fun. And thank you so much to everybody for listening to Let's Talk Sales. As we've mentioned a couple of times, you can find the notes for today's show at criteriaforsuccess.com/pod11. And make sure to download Rebecca's ebook. You'll find a link to it in the show notes. Again, it's called Change Ignites Growth: 7 Ways to Use Change as an Opportunity. I think she maybe shared 2 or 3 of those 7 on the show today, but there's a lot more in there. And she's got some great exercises you can use for yourself or for your team as you're looking to embrace change. Tune in next week when Rebecca will be back in the studio interviewing Robert Weiss of Multivision Digital.
On January 29th, we'll be airing a special episode of Let's Talk Sales, where we'll be answering listener questions about change. Submit your questions on social media using the hashtag AskCFS or email us at podcast@criteriaforsuccess.com. You can even send in a voice memo with your question to hear yourself on the air, but be sure to keep it short. A minute or two is generally pretty good.
Through the rest of January, we'll be writing about change on the CFS blog. Check it out at criteriaforsuccess.com/blog. If you like the show, please tell a friend and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. Ratings and reviews will help other people find the show and let us know what's working and where to improve. We're still a pretty new show, and so we always love to hear from our fans. Let's Talk Sales is a production of Criteria for Success and is produced by Rebecca Smith, Ariana Miskell, and me, Elizabeth Frederick. Happy New Year! Remember to embrace change.